You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Happy days are here because football has returned. Week 11 begins tonight.
Looking forward to tonight. Big night. Week 11 in fantasy football begins. We're 2 weeks away from the regular season finales of fantasy football. Thanksgiving right around the corner. Got a big basketball game tonight. Golden State travels to Boston to take on the Celtics. So it's a good night for sports. I'm looking forward to it.
Boston Celtics lost their first two games in the year and have not lost since.
That's right. Big test for them.
King, what's happening?
Yes, Corey Parsons, New York Knickerbockers with the victory last night. And, looking forward to seeing Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis in action tonight.
Yeah, should be a fun one for the Rooks. We'll get into that game coming up a little bit later on in the hour. Matt Modica, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm excited for the game tonight. A little surprised that I'm starting Ben Roethlisberger over Marcus Mariota in this matchup. I wouldn't have thought I would have done that, you know, in the preseason. But it has come to that. Hoping Corey Davis does have the breakout tonight. And shout out to the baseball writers. They got it right last night with Max Scherzer and Corey Kluber.
Congratulations to those
two. Also in the summer, you wouldn't be expecting to hear, you know, I'm really glad to have the connection of Jared Goff and Robert Woods.
That's a big time connection right there. That's championship stuff. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see who Xavier Rhodes is covering.
That is the
million dollar question.
Million dollar fantasy question.
That's the million dollar question this week. Is who is start? Who will Xavier Woods be covering in Los Angeles? And unfortunately, we just don't know the answer to that.
Don't know the answer to that. But I know how Xavier Rhodes get down. He's up for the challenge always. You would think that they would put him on Watkins, but why put him on Watkins when you don't need to take Watkins out the game because Jared Goff take Watkins out the game himself? You know what I'm saying? So maybe you'd put him on Woods, and then that opens up Watkins, and I don't know. That is one of the conundrums of fantasy football this weekend.
Here's two things about that. Number one, if they play man, whoever he gets put on, you know, Jared Goff does a nice job of hitting the open man. Secondly, though, when you watch the Vikings on film, they're all about anticipation and scheme. What's to say they don't even go man, you know, and they play some zone here?
It depends on that's like Rhodes locked up Antonio Brown earlier this year. That's crazy.
I believe Sammy Watkins is averaging 3.8 targets per game.
Yeah, so it's no reason for Rhodes to go on him.
That's twice as much as I thought.
Man.
Yeah.
That'll be, as we said, the major question. We're in the Thursday Night Football later on in the hour. But that question is still a question, right? Who will Xavier Rhodes cover on Sunday? But the question of Ezekiel Elliott, it no longer exists. We have finality there. When we come back, we'll break down what that finality means, as well as talk about Tyrod Taylor sitting on the bench moving forward as Nate Peterman, the new starter in Buffalo. We'll break down Zeke and the quarterback situation for the Bills when we come back on the Roto Experts presented by DX Racer.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Ezekiel Elliott, he is done until week 16. He has dropped his appeal, And Corey, yep. I do have to ask you. Listen, you said this pursuit by Ezekiel Elliott is all about clearing his name. He's not going to go down without a fight. And he fought, and he lost. And now the suspension is finalized. It's not going anywhere. He said, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was so much him. I think he would afford it to the bitter end to clear his name of this situation, which the NFL lead investigator said that no suspension was deserved and there was no evidence of wrongdoing by Ezekiel Elliott here. But under Article 46, the NFL holds ultimate power. The NFLPA has to do a better job at that. But I think this really ultimately comes down to this situation that is going on with the NFL owners Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones. I think probably all over the weekend, Arthur Blank and some of these dudes got with Jerry and was like, listen, cut it out right now. You know, you can get hopped up all you want over this Ezekiel Elliott thing. It is what it is. And I think that they had a good stern talking with Jerry. And I think they told him, you know what, everything you got against Roger Goodell, stop it, finish it now, and let's get past this Ezekiel Elliott thing. And I think Jerry Jones probably relayed to Ezekiel Elliott and his team to let the appeal go.
With Ezekiel Elliott out.
Mr. Jones.
With Ezekiel Elliott out until week 16, Matt, who do you like best going forward in that Dallas backfield?
I think the offense is going to change a little bit. I like Dak a lot going forward. If this offensive line depends upon the health there, I kind of think it could be Rod Smith could be the man that emerges.
I'm going to go with Alfred Morris right now. He ran well for a short spell last week, and I think they're going to have to get him in a rhythm and get him involved. I think Smith is the pass-catching back, but Morris, when he's been given the ball, has not done anything to make me think that, you know, that he's going to be surpassed easily.
I mean, obviously in a standard would be Alfred Morris, but in PPR, I'm going Rod Smith.
Yeah, I think Alfred Morris, if you look, I think it's going to be a game script situation. I think Alfred Morris is going to get every opportunity to be the lead dog. But you look at this weekend right here, for example, going up against that stout Philadelphia Eagle front, I do think they get game scripted into what's more of a Rod Smith game. After that, the Chargers on Thanksgiving, that's Alfred Morris. Then you got the DC team, that's Alfred Morris. Then you got the pitiful Giants, that's also Alfred Morris game, and so on and so forth. So I think Alfred Morris is the leader until Zeke gets back. But I do think you're going to have situations depending on, you know, game script. And I think this week right here is a Rod Smith game script.
Here's what I think hurts Alfred Morris and why I'm liking Dak more and more. I think Dak's going to steal some touchdowns.
Oh, no, he definitely is.
So, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He's got more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this, and it was Dave Martinez's question last night on Fantasy Freestyle. I thought it was a wonderful question.
I think it's a good question, too.
It's a really good question. And I'll throw it out to you guys, and we can have a discussion. This is the type of discussion that I know my boy Scotty really enjoys having. So, with that being said, which quarterback, you start a franchise today, which quarterback are you starting with Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, or Deshaun Watson? Scott.
To me, it comes down to Dak and Deshaun Watson. You know, both have tremendous savvy. Both are mobile. I think when I compare the two, the decision making of Dak Prescott, I think, is a little bit crisper, and the accuracy is a little bit crisper. I think Watson throws the deep ball. I'd be fine with either one of them, but I'm going to go with Dak Prescott.
Matt?
I'm going to take Deshaun Watson. I mean, I was blown away what I seen from this kid, and, you know, we know he can run and stuff like that. That first game on Thursday night, what you saw from there through the next games and how he progressed and how he's fearless. I love the fact he does something that Jared Goff does not do. He throws contested passes to his number one wide receiver. And that's what I think you have to do in the NFL. And like I said, I don't see how, seeing what I've seen from him, how I could not take him.
Who would you take second?
Probably Dak.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably Dak, then Wentz, then Goff.
I don't know. This is a tough call right here. I do think it's between out of those four guys. I think it ultimately comes down to Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott. And I mean, I don't know where to see where you can go wrong. Both guys have the intangibles. Both guys faces of the franchise, leaders in the locker room. At least that's what it seems like early in their careers. I think I would just give the slight edge to Deshaun Watson, though. And I love Dak Prescott like a brother. You know what I mean? But I think I would give the slight edge to Deshaun Watson. But I'm talking about the slightest of edges. It would be a very difficult decision to make if I'm in the war room.
The winner of the poll, Carson Wentz.
I get that his team's 8-1, and you know he's got about 23 touchdowns. I understand that, but if Deshaun Watson was still playing, I think Deshaun Watson would be a little.
Wentz is the hot name right now.
My vote for the record went to Dak Prescott. I would choose Prescott personally. We'll see what he can do over the next few games without Ezekiel Elliott and potentially without Tyron Smith and probably without.
When Dallas lost that playoff to Green Bay. Playoff game to Green Bay, that was not Dak Prescott's fault. He was the one that kept them
that
in the game.
Fantastic game.
We haven't seen that from Carson Wentz or even Deshaun Watson yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So Deshaun Watson has been a winner, you know, throughout. I mean,
yes,
two back-to-back national championship games. He beat Bama. Mm-hmm. It was a hell of a comeback.
Should have beat him twice.
Yeah. Should have beat him twice, 100%.
35-0, the Ohio State team that had an NFL secondary. The entire secondary went in the first round in the draft. He put 35 on him.
He's a hell of a player, Deshaun Watson. We're excited to see him back next year for Houston. Okay. Speaking of one quarterback that wasn't on there.
It was on TV.
Is it me?
The U.
Oh, it's a commercial. It's a commercial.
Yeah.
Commercial. One new quarterback whose name was not on there was rookie quarterback Nathan Peterman. Because he makes his first career start Sunday for the Buffalo Bills. He was named a starter yesterday as Tyrod Taylor heads to the bench. Matt, you're the Bills fan. What do you think?
Look, Tyrod got railroaded this year. I mean, pretty much, last year, too. They never really fully embraced him. They got Dennison to come in to be the offensive coordinator. They did not put a system in for Tyrod Taylor. Look, I get when people in fantasy are upset that he's benched. And I wouldn't have benched him right now. I don't think he deserves to be benched right now. You could have played Peterman, you know, week 12 to week 16 if you lose the next two games. He deserved to keep playing with a team that right now has a wild card spot, in my opinion. But the problem with Tyrod Taylor is he only has one speed on his throws. He throws a good deep ball, does not have touch passes, doesn't make certain passes. So, I mean, and I don't think Peterman's the answer neither, to be honest with you. So, from that aspect, I'm just hoping for, at some point, we trade up and get a franchise player.
I thought Taylor was improving. I always respected his abilities. I felt like he was making better decisions about when to take stay in the pocket and when to take off. I know they lost badly to the Jets, but two of those touchdown throws he had, one where it was in the flow of the game, were beauties, I thought. I think over time he's just going to continue to get better, and whoever gets him, I think, is going to end up being lucky. As far as Peterman goes, I think they saw something in this kid. I saw him play in the preseason. He looks heady and poised for a young kid. I will say this. When he played in the preseason, he had real tunnel vision for Zay Jones. I will say that.
I mean, some of the stats you look at with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, Tyrod Taylor might be one of the best quarterbacks in Buffalo Bills history, as crazy as this may sound.
No, I think you got a little crazy.
You look at the numbers. Lowest interception rate? I said one of the best. Now, he's not Jim Kelly.
He's
not Doug Flutie neither.
Yeah.
one of the highest completion percentages. He got railroaded. They're saying, okay, well, he's not a franchise quarterback. Okay, I can see that point. He got railroaded in this situation right here, but it is what it is when it comes to fantasy owners. You have to adjust. You don't have him. You got to go ahead and make out the pickups. But this was a horrible move by a team that's getting ready. Like this, he has the Buffalo Bills in contention to make the playoffs, and they benched him. Tyrod Taylor is snake bitten for some odd reason. Tyrod Taylor should have an opportunity. Tyrod Taylor's better than a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Who would you rather have right now, Eli Manning or Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor.
I think Taylor's underrated, to your point. I wouldn't put him in that rarefied air of being one of the best in Bills history, but I like him. I think he's underrated. I think wherever he ends up, the Bills are going to be sorry that they treated him like this.
I think the Bills were looking to make this move for a little while.
Totally agree.
Which, to me, is complexing when... Why not trade Taylor to a
Jacksonville
team, even if you got, especially Jacksonville. But even if you got like a fourth, a fifth, whatever draft pick you got, just to get something for him.
It's my money. Teams are stubborn. But the other side of that was, right, if Nathan Peterman gets hurt, you have a capable backup, to be perfectly honest with you. And there is something to be said for that, especially in today's NFL landscape. Tyrod Taylor was asked yesterday if he believes he was ever given a fair opportunity in Buffalo. And he just said he can't make his opportunity. You know, he just does his job. Basically, life's not fair. He'll continue to just do his thing and work hard.
Tyrod Taylor has the highest passer rating, completion percentage, adjusted yards per attempt, and the lowest interception percentage in Bills franchise history.
And no playoff appearances.
And where would
this
you,
is true.
Where would the Bills fan rank him in franchise history?
He's well behind Jim Kelly, well behind Doug Flutie.
Joe Ferguson, too.
Joe Ferguson would be, poor Joe Ferguson put on some pitiful teams. That was before my fandom.
Think about this. The free agent quarterbacks this year, Tyrod Taylor, Kirk Cousins,
that's
Alex Smith, potentially. It's a really, really capable group at quarterback. We'll see where they go.
Eli Manning,
maybe, yeah. We'll take a break when we come back. Dr. A, Inside Injury, joins the program next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Time of the week again.
Oh, my God.
You hung out.
Yeah.
You partied the A-Town.
I wouldn't say we partied. We enjoyed some football.
Some
you know
beer.
What I'm saying?
Some popcorn.
Everything that comes with the experience of the NFL game day.
Yeah, Matt and I talked to Dr. A on Monday when you weren't here.
Yeah.
And basically Dr. A said you just ravaged his box.
Oh, stop it.
He took all the food. He put stuff in his jacket.
He took all the food.
He said you went to his hotel and took towels.
No, I did not do that.
And just, there's no food left in the box after you were done.
I'm sure Dr. A didn't say that.
Well, you can ask him right now. He joins the program. Doc, what's going on? Do we have Dr. A?
Dr. A is speechless.
He's filling the box up with food.
I know. He's like, hold on 1 second. I got to replace everything that Corey took.
He's like, Corey, hurt him, bud.
Doctor,
Corey does at the restaurant, too.
What's going on, Doc?
I'm good, guys. Ready to talk some injuries. We've got some chronic ones that we've got to talk about. Names that continue to keep popping up, week after week. A lot of people want to know about, Devontae Freeman. I mean, Corey, you and I talked about that at the game. You remember?
Yeah, no doubt. Doc,
he doesn't remember.
I don't remember. Come on, now. I had something to do after the game, so I was sober.
Were you concussed?
No, I was not. I was good to go.
He was full.
But, Doc, you had mentioned that, remember when he had the one in training camp? If I'm not mistaken, he had one later in the mid to late last season. So he's had something like three in, like, maybe the past 12 to 14 months. Do you think he should be on the injured reserve?
Yeah, I think it's going to – time will tell, with these neurological type of injuries, especially concussions – the healing sort of recovery pattern is very, very different for different people. One thing's for sure is that the likelihood of him having a fourth concussion is very, very high. And that's why, especially if he hasn't recovered from the third concussion yet, that's why, we don't know what the timetable for Devontae Freeman's going to be, but they won't know until he actually completely clears concussion protocol and then actually has some time to go through some secondary testing to make sure that he has really completely cleared. And there's no secondary signs of other things associated with head injuries, neurological symptoms, associated with upper extremity or lower extremity, as well as memory. And, they have to now go through all of that because of the multiple concussions he had. So I'm not going to say injured reserve yet. However, it is a possibility. He's always been at high injury risk on our board even before the season started. It's playing sort of true, unfortunately, now. I mean, these things, especially for running backs, concussions are very, very difficult to control because they are the ones that are getting hit most often when they have the ball.
All right. What about Philip Rivers? This guy never misses a game, Doc. But we can't assume anything when he's going through the concussion protocol, even though he was at practice yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this was something that was a no one really actually saw the play. It was on, I think, a tackle on the, in the first quarter. Didn't really hit the ground hard. You know, one of these things is it could be a very, very mild concussion, likely pass protocol easily. He's on his road to recovery in a week. I think he is going to clear. It's a grade one right now, but it's probably going to improve and completely be better. He's at elevated injury risk at this moment, but he's going to be projected to be back up into close to peak health and again at low injury risk to start the game most likely. So I think this is an extremely mild concussion. He's never had a concussion before, which is incredible for a quarterback for as many seasons as he's played. And he's not missed a game in his last 12 seasons, which is, you know, he's sort of like an Iron Man when it comes to injuries. You know, I fully expect him to be back on the field, very close to low injury risk and peak health.
Hey, Doc, how's it going this morning? Let's head over to Baltimore. Danny Woodhead, is he returning this weekend, the long-awaited Danny Woodhead return?
So, I don't know if he's going to return this week, but I do know that he shouldn't. You know, he had a grade 4 hamstring injury, which normally takes a 30-week recovery, but he improved significantly from a 4 to a 2 in this time period, and that was about 2 to 3 weeks ago. So the grade 2 hamstring is a 5-week optimum recovery time, and that happened about 2 to 3 weeks ago. See, he is about 2 weeks away, so I definitely think he should come back in about maybe week 13, possibly week 12, but definitely week 13. If he comes back this week, I think he's coming back a little bit too soon. So, you know, if he does come and fantasy owners decide to start him, I would have some wide receiver, you know, ready to go, especially right before the game if he's declared inactive.
Talking to Dr. A, inside injuries, and we mentioned this, of course, on Monday with you, Matt and I did. But when it came to Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams, I recommended to everybody listening and watching that, hey, I'm picking up Jamal Williams. Ty Montgomery has his rib injury. And you talked about on Monday with Matt and I about, listen, he may not even crack any more ribs. And maybe cartilage issues inside the chest. And that's even more painful. So Mike McCarthy, the head coach of Green Bay, then comes out and is like, we think Ty Montgomery may play as soon as this Sunday. Is this a pain tolerance issue with Ty Montgomery? What is the latest there?
Yeah, see, there's a big difference between playing and then playing effectively. And so, you know, he could definitely play. I mean, he could play in the last game, except the problem is that, you know, if he does have pain and it flares up in game, it's incredibly difficult to control that pain with costochondritis and inflammation of the cartilage. And, you know, a guy who's had multiple rib fractures previously, it's very, very difficult to play. So, as you can see, you can start the game, you can play the game, but you may play 4 snaps and that's it. And, you know, that's not anything good for the team or good for fantasy owners. And so, you know, I'm very, very, you know, negative, unfortunately, on Ty Montgomery. If he does play in this game, I don't think he'll be as effective unless he's extremely lucky of not getting hit in the exact spot, you know, on his chest. But obviously that is something that is not going to happen. I think he is at a significantly high risk. Right now he's at elevated injury risk at 24%, and he's below average at this current time. His previous metrics were elevated injury risk and above average. But this time, I think he'll stay below average and elevated injury risk at 24%. So, you know, I don't think he'll be as effective and perform that well in the game. Because of that, you're right, that pain threshold is very difficult to control in game.
Doc, let me hop in right here. I want to talk to you. I was telling Greg and before the break that I think that Jordan Reed might retire after this season. You look at the multiple concussions, the staying banged up with the back. You got the hamstring. He's more than likely going to need foot surgery in the offseason. This guy is beat up, Dr. A.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about him, and we've pretty much talked about him every week for the last 2 years. And but seriously, no. I mean, yeah. This is how injured he is. It's amazing. I don't know how he can continue to come back and maintain any type of effectiveness. Unfortunately, you know, he was high injury risk before the season started. He was one of these target guys where, you know, we knew that he was going to have multiple injuries. And even if he played through these injuries, again, it's really the effectiveness, you know, for fantasy owners. owners. Like I said, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if he starts in the game and is not effective, or if he doesn't play in the game and he's on the roster, because they're not generating points for fantasy owners. And so high injury risk, 33%. He's below average at 54%. This hamstring injury is grade 2 right now. He still needs 3 more weeks to recover. So if he does play anytime sooner, you know, again, I don't know if you can get into a higher injury risk than 33%. There is no other category. It'll remain high injury risk.
What about Dez Bryant, Doc? You know, seems like, you know, they continue to hold him out of practice early in midweek.
Yeah, I mean, Corey and I talked about this at the game on Sunday where we were watching Dez, and he was not in a lot of snaps. I mean, he started off the game with a bang, because in the beginning, you know, it's very, very sort of, you know, you don't really feel the impact of this grade 2 ankle sprain. But then as the game went on, you could see he was just not in a lot of snaps, and then he was coming back. And then he was not that effective. I believe he just had 3 receptions and 39 yards. And, you know, again, this is the problem with ankle injuries and wide receivers. Got to get them to heal, because you could play really well in the first quarter, and then second quarter and the second half, it starts to go downhill. And so he's at high injury risk right now at 26%. He was high injury risk before the game, last game, and he was before the season started on our book. So he needs 2 weeks. He was at a 2. Now he's at a 1. He's improving at least. He still needs 2 weeks. If he comes back in 2 weeks, he'll move into the above average category, and that's when he could probably do a lot more for fantasy owners.
Hey, Doc, let's end it on a high note, some positivity here. Zach Ertz, he's going to be good to go this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, he was a grade 3. Now he was then a grade 2, now a grade 1. So he's improving nicely. You know, he's at elevated right now, but right on the border of low injury risk. So by game time, we're projecting him to be at low injury risk, and he's above average, but, you know, very, very, he'll be very, very close to peak health. You know, very, very good news that he has rested, and then he's practicing this week, and they've been limiting him, so that's a really good sign. So we expect him to be at low injury risk at game time.
There you go, Dr. A, inside injuries we hear from each and every week. The next time you can hear from him on our airwaves, Line Up Lock Live on Sunday morning. You are not going to want to miss what Doc has to say as we go up to game time. He's the best. We appreciate the time as always. Doctor, thank you so much.
All right, guys, have a good day.
We appreciate it. All right, there you go. Gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to take a look at Thursday night football between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. We got a lot going on tonight, and Matt brought some interesting points earlier when it came to Ben Roethlisberger and Marcus Mariota in that conversation. I think it's one we need to have. Corey, you wrote Rishard Matthews a little bit earlier. That's a conversation we need to have. And Scott, you've been excited all morning long about Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis, both rookie wide receivers, hitting the field tonight. All three of those things we got to break down in the next 10 minutes. That comes your way when we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Football Color Rush tonight. Color Rush has gotten much better, by the way.
I like them.
I'm in on them.
I like them.
Remember the colorblind game?
Oh my god, it was horrible.
What was one? That was the Rams.
It was Rams Titans, right?
No, that was the Bills and Jets.
Oh, that was one too. I think they both were bad, if I remember correctly.
It was the Rams one.
That bright gold, poop. Yeah. Piss thing, and the Titans were in their bright blue. It was disgusting.
I don't like the color rush like the Jets will just like wear white that looks like their normal white. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I like it when it's more creative.
Alright.
Yeah.
Tonight, the Titans and the Steelers, my friend actually reminded me many years ago, not many, like 3 or 4 years ago, the Steelers and the Titans played like around this time on Thursday Night Football, and we were still in Survivor at the time, and he really wanted to take, I guess, the Steelers, I would assume. The Steelers, I'm like, listen, Thursday Night Football, unpredictable, I wouldn't let us. And the Steelers wound up losing, and I felt awesome about myself.
Oh, wow. How about that?
I think we lost a week later, but whatever. Nevertheless, point was, I made the right call. Tonight, the Steelers and the Titans go at it. Matt, which quarterback would you rather have starting in your fantasy football lineup tonight? Ben Roethlisberger or Marcus Mariota?
Tonight, it's Big Ben. Rest of the season after this week, it's Marcus Mariota.
I think I agree with Matt. I think it's a good matchup for Ben. He's at home. Rest of the season, I'm not sure about Mariota. You know, Ben's got some home dates here, plays better at home. He's got some really good weapons in Brown and Smith-Schuster and Bryant. They might be more explosive than the Tennessee passing game. And the Tennessee offense is still going to lean heavily on the run. So I'm going to go with Ben.
One quick thing, the Steelers have kicked an abnormal amount of field goals at home. Like Chris Boswell is pretty much...
Yeah,
you know,
not going for two as much, yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm just saying. We know in the past, Ben would have that 6-touchdown game. Or the Steelers at home would just be like just be dominant. That hasn't been the case for the most part.
Yeah, I think you got to play Ben Roethlisberger. You get home Ben going up against a very bad secondary. I believe this secondary is giving up 17 touchdown passes on the season. So I'm gonna go with Big Ben in this one. And I'll be honest with you, I have not been impressed with Marcus Mariota this season.
Yeah, him and Jameis Winston did not take the step forward this year. Many
that everybody thought they were. Don't
well,
they?
Well, I
not?
Think, and as Corey's pointed it out, Mariota's inability to stay healthy has really hampered him. But I think with the 10 days off after tonight, say he does get to optimal health or very close to that, the schedule just opens up. We saw what he did last season with a prime when the schedule opened up for him.
He went crazy. Yeah,
it's close. Corey's never liked Mariota.
I didn't like him at first. And then last year, when I first got here last year, around this time, I began to warm up to him. And,
because of that stretch Matt was talking about.
Because of that stretch. He was very efficient. But other than that, when he first came out, I didn't think he was the leader of a franchise.
I used to call him soft, I remember.
I think I was wrong on that.
Yeah. Said something about his flip-flops or something
He went to Gruden's quarterback camp. He had on flip-flops and no socks. And I said, you can't walk into – I can't respect you leading my huddle if I'm looking at your toes.
Yeah, I'm not pro flip-flops or sandals for men.
I'm a big fan.
All right, Corey. Something about lattes next round.
I'm a big fan. You know, you brought out how good of a time that the 10 days off the Titans get now. I think you're just at a massive advantage, in my opinion, when your Thursday night football game comes like right around now, week 11, week 12, because you have your bye week 6, 7, 8, wherever the Titans had it, and then you get 4 weeks and you get another bye right now for that playoff stretch. That is like a really... I mean, you have to play that one Thursday night game. I understand that. But it's really, really beneficial to you.
Especially if you own, like, DeMarco Murray. You're hoping he gets a couple touchdowns tonight, gets an extended time off, and can really give you that push down the road, you know, for the rest of the season rush.
Yes, I think so, too. So that's one of the major questions we had, Roethlisberger or Mariota. Another one, which Corey brought up tonight, was about Rishard Matthews. Now, would you play Rishard Matthews tonight, Matt?
Yeah, no, I would. I would definitely play Rishard Matthews tonight. We spoke earlier on the program. Steelers have some, they're missing some pieces in the secondary. The front seven, to me, is the strong point of this defense anyway. But the secondary had played well. But we saw some broken plays this past Sunday. You know, guys like Chester Rogers running down the field with 60-yard touchdowns. Dante Moncrief rose from the dead. He got a 50-yard touchdown. So I think Rishard Matthews is the optimal passing play. But if you have Corey Davis, look, he's played 4 games, 3 he's completed. In 2 of those games, he's got 10 targets. So I think, you know, might be a night where he gets a chance to shine.
With his athletic ability, Corey Davis can be a matchup problem for any cornerback in the NFL. So if you want to roll him out on a bye week, I think it's ideal.
Yeah, I think Audie's healthy, right?
Audie's healthy. Mm-hmm.
So it's just Joe Hayden?
Yep.
I think
both, and Mike Mitchell, a safety.
Okay. I think both wide receivers are wide receiver three plays tonight.
Okay.
Rashad Matthews and Corey Davis. The Pittsburgh Steelers just don't give up touchdowns through the air, and they particularly don't do so at home. But I still think you got that these guys are in that wide receiver three conversation.
So who would you rather start tonight, gentlemen? Corey Davis, and this is a conversation Scotty wanted to have when he gave this Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis. Who would you rather start tonight, Corey Davis or Juju Smith-Schuster? Anybody?
I'm going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster. I like Corey Davis a lot, but you know he's still coming along. Smith-Schuster has really progressed as a big play guy and a touchdown threat. Corey Davis might be better than Smith-Schuster eventually, but right now I'm going with Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, right now Smith-Schuster is the better play. He's getting about 7 targets a game. He's definitely a part of that offense. We like that offense versus that secondary. I'm going to go with Smith-Schuster in this one. Smith-Schuster tonight, but probably Corey Davis in the long run.
Juju the last 2 weeks, 17 targets, 12 catches. He's really, been a part of this offense. I'm going to go contrarian here and say Corey Davis.
Yeah. He's going to go on that hill. Calvary.
At least I'm dying on Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was a while ago. It's been Washington. Yeah.
Cody Kessler supported during the summer.
He probably still is better than DeShone Kizer, though.
Would you say that Juju Smith-Schuster is a better rookie wide receiver this year than Cooper Kupp?
He's the best.
Yeah. I mean,
definitely.
So there you go. The Cooper Kupp wide receiver prediction is incorrect.
Yeah, but I still like the guy.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. I'll show you Cooper Kupp for Antonio Brown.
Maybe during the off season.
We can consider.
Yeah.
This is
in
not
a yearly league.
Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster, you were saying that.
Look, he's become a. I just think at some point tonight they're going to make the concerted effort. We saw last week they did try and get the ball to Bryant. Okay, I mean, that first pass put them in the hole because it was a terrible throw by Ben. They went deep. He threw the interception. And I think I've reiterated this point time and time again. They need to get this guy involved. He's gotten like 90% of his touchdowns at home. They are home tonight. It's a short week. I know Ben complains. He doesn't like it. Nobody likes it. But I think this is going to be a higher scoring game than most anticipate.
We said this a lot on Thursday nights that we think it'll be a higher scoring game than we anticipate. We think it's going to be fun. We think it could be exciting. And hopefully we get those because when they're really boring Thursday night games, it's really boring, really not fun. That's when you turn on Golden State and Boston.
That's when you go to Golden State and that's when you go to Golden State and Boston from TD Bank. And somebody on Twitter, my man Josh on Twitter said, "Hey, Andrew Luck wore sandals with no socks on his Gruden camp video." Oh, then I apologize because Andrew Luck's a hell of a football player. He's a leader of men.
I believe, as Eric Young says, Andrew Luck is not a football
this
player.
This is true, Eric. You're right.
He's got a hell of a neck beard.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is not playing football right now.
No,
so
maybe. And some people speculate never will again, in fact.
I hope that's not the case. Didn't he go overseas Europe. He went to Europe to get some kind of special treatment done?
I always just call it the Kobe treatment, even though it's not even his knee. I always just call it the Kobe treatment in Europe.
Yeah, the way you get the spinning. Didn't Odell was supposed to have something like that done?
That was supposed to be in Arizona.
Okay. Because you can't do these kind of procedures in...
There's certain stuff that you can't do in America, which always kind of freaks me out.
I know, right? Dr. A got a spot in the back. He'd be like, "Come back here." Come back
Where's
here.
Where's the cash?
Yeah, give me the bag. All right, let's go. He called Dr. A. Dr. A be like, "I'm at the national championship." Like,
a couple of other notes for tonight. As you guys said, DeMarco Murray, you get through this game, then you get 10 days off. What do we think of DeMarco Murray on the short week? He scored 3 touchdowns on Sunday, but it's a short week now. Only 3 days off, and he's playing tonight.
I'm concerned about it. I just can't bench him.
You can't do anything about it.
He gets in that green zone. He's going to get the touches. He either run it, they'll throw him the ball. So I might... No. Yeah, you just have to. I mean, what do you do with Derrick Henry to me is more of the question. Is this more of a Derrick Henry game, especially fourth quarter, being that it is the short week? So I think maybe you could roll him out as a flex.
So it seems like every time you put him on the bench, in week 3 against Seattle, people are saying, I don't know if I want to use Murray. He's not healthy. It's a bad matchup. 75-yard touchdown run. Last week I benched him. 3 touchdowns. That's why you got to put him in.
Keep benching him, Scotty, because I got him going today.
I think it's interesting. I don't think you can start Derrick.
Not all about you.
Derrick Henry in the flex. Who are you starting him over?
No, I mean, that's the case. But I'm I'm rolling out DeMarco Murray. You think you just have to play him. I mean, it's frustrating. It's scary. But the old man is not, you know, he's suiting up. Sure. He's getting out there.
Sure. But you said you'd play Derrick Henry in the flex as well, though, is what you said, right?
I'm not saying I want to play him, but he might be a consideration, okay, being that it is the short week and in that second half, especially if Milwaukee ever is true to his word and says he's the fourth quarter running back.
We get in that squeaky.
It's a tough matchup, though. It's like DeMarco Murray, when I do my lineup ranks today on rotoexperts.com, he's probably not going to be in my top 12.
Would you, Corey, do you believe that we get the squeaky wheel game tonight from Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I do think we get a squeaky wheel game. I think AB can go off. I think he can have one of those classic Antonio Brown games where he can give you 10 for 130 and two touch.
Last note on this game, Delanie Walker is good to go for tonight. He was hampered a little bit on Sunday, but he'll be good to go.
He's the tight end version of DeMarco Murray.
Marcus Mariota's favorite target out there in Tennessee. We'll take a break. We'll be joined by Jake Seeley. I'll ask him a question about tonight's game, and we'll make predictions for the Titans and the Steelers as we wrap up the Roto Experts presented by DX Racer.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Scott Drummond, mouth open wide.
Something flew in it, too.
Matt Modica, Wall Street.
I didn't say nothing.
Jake Seeley is here as well. We welcome him into the program right now. What's up, Jakey?
What's up, Greggy?
What's up? What's wrong, Corey? Corey is flabbergasted at the moment. No, I'm
just
exasperated.
Just got a message that I'm just like, come on now.
Frustrated by.
Yeah.
Okay. Corey, my question... Jake. Yes, Jake.
You said Jake. Oh, you're talking to me.
I meant Jake.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You seem to... I don't want to bother you.
You talked to me for the past 3 hours. Talk to Jake now.
Okay. Jake, my question for you is, tonight, are we going to see Martavis Bryant score a touchdown?
No, we're not, Corey. I mean, Greg. We're not. Look, unless it's just... At this point, all you're hoping for is he catches one of the bomb. Ben Roethlisberger tried it early in the game last week, and then that was pretty much it for most of the rest of the day, is that you're just hoping for... It's what he's turned into. It's just you're looking for a big play. That's always kind of been his ability, is he's a nine-route guy. It just worked because he was the number two wide receiver, but now that they delegated to number three, clearly behind Smith-Schuster,
yeah,
unless he gets that, you just... It's like the old days back with what's-his-face that used to play for the Saints that we were just hoping for, and it happened about three times a year.
True. Like a Lance Moore type thing?
No, the one that started with a D. I can't
Devery
remember
Henderson?
His name now. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. Yes,
you
Greg. This is why I like.
Or Robert Meacham, same thing.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah. Good old Bob. Sure. So I'm still like kind of annoyed about Martavis Bryant. I feel like he could still do something and be bothersome.
I think he still does something, you know. I mean, he only saw two less targets than Juju. I know Juju is above him in the pecking order.
I agree with you, Matt.
I think they're going to go deep, and they're going to try and get it to him.
I agree with you. Let's make some predictions for tonight. I think that could
hey,
be
right
fun.
Quick, I'm yes, looking at this tweet from SB Nation. I'll go ahead and retweet it at the Fantasy Exec. They got a picture of Lonzo Ball. And it says, how many points did he score against the Sixers? And instead of saying Lakers 2, it says points 2.
Hey,
that's not nice to do that to Lonzo.
Hey, Jake, did you ever get that? Unfortunately, when Corey came back from yesterday after I started the show, I never got to hear the answer to my question. So if you answered it on the air, I missed it. So can I ask you again now?
He never got to it. It was Devontae Adams was barely ahead by a few spots.
Man, that is, what about Rod Smith? Is he ahead of those guys or behind those guys?
Behind those guys.
Yeah, I think so too. So you're saying Devontae Adams barely over him, huh?
Yeah.
Damn. All right. I'll have to make that decision this weekend. Let's get some predictions tonight.
Oh, look at this. Ray Carruth's son turns 18 today.
Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
What's coming up next on the Frenzy?
It's amazing.
We'll talk about what's trending on Twitter.
Incredible.
This is good stuff.
Matt.
It's not what we're talking
prediction
about.
Prediction tonight. Steelers 27, Titans 24.
All right. King.
Steelers 20, Titans 17.
Steelers 28, Titans 25.
Jiggy jiggy.
Do you see what the Bruins did? No, we're supposed to pay attention to what we're talking about, Greg.
Well done, Jiggy Jiggy. Well done.
Upset. Titans 27, Steelers 17.
Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot. Good job. All right, Corey, what's up next on The Frenzy besides Ray Caruth's kid?
No, I mean, it's an amazing story. You know what I'm saying? Ray Caruth. That's off season. Coming up on The Frenzy, get you ready for Thursday Night Football. Obviously, start to get ready. We'll break down Jake's link. We'll go over some of these matchups that we got coming up this week. Let you know who some sneaky starts are. So, got a full program coming up on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Yeah. We had to talk about Tyrod Taylor today. We did a lot of that yesterday.
Yep. So I feel like you don't need to do that again.
No, it's over now. Yeah. I have a league where I don't have a quarterback for this week, and that is
no bueno.
Devastating.
Maybe just ask Jake. You can, you know, is it Jake's league?
No, it's not. It's not one of Jake's leagues.
Sorry.
My team. I offered Joe Dolan a trade in the flex this morning though, so we'll see what happens when Joe D wakes up.
Oh, it's different. It's a different league.
Yeah, this is a different league.
All right. I'll find out more about Corey's leagues and Ray Caruth, of course. And the Bruins on the Fantasy Football Friends. From Wall Street Outlaws, Eva, and the King, Scott Angle. And, of course, Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. My name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back tomorrow, wrap up the week, and make your final lineup decisions here on the Road Experts, presented by DX Racing. Goodbye.